Okay.
You want those waves nice and tiny, because I can fix them if they're tiny, but if you get overblown...
Okay, they're tiny. They're tiny. Then we're good.
Plant, I can assume that your levels are going to come out like a screaming lunatic.
Yeah, you can count on that.
Okay, great. I think people have come to expect that from you.
I love you.
Hello, my name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy. I'm here to rock you like a hurricane with all the good games.
Hi, I'm Chris Plant, and my game is pretty good this time.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I'm a Skylanders.
You don't have to sing every time.
What is that?
Skylanders.
So I'm clear, your introduction was, I'm Rush Freshdick and Skylanders.
Yeah, I wanted to give people a preview of what they can expect.
Is Skylanders your game?
No, yeah, I think he's saying he is a Skylanders.
No, not plural, singular. Russ, I'm a Skylander.
He's a plastic toy that little kids pay $500 for on eBay.
It's like that Richard Pryor movie, The Toy, starring Rush Freshdick. As Richard Pryor. Hey, so every week on The Besties, we talk about new games released that week. We pit them against each other in a battle for supremacy. And whichever game comes out on top has to do battle with our current reigning champion, which is still Journey.
So I think this is the week that
you think is the week that it gets unseated. Journey was declared Game of the Week because it lets players talk to each other without knowing their identities, so it could, in theory, heal the wounds in the Middle East.
I mean, it specifically doesn't do that thing you just said.
It lets players play together without communicating.
Right. No, they can communicate, but they just can't talk.
Can't talk without talking. That's what I said. Griffin, who is pitching first this week?
Up to
the plate.
This week... Let's go pandemic rules. Who was the last person to be sick? Because I got pretty sick after PAX.
I was sick in January.
That's pretty far away. Anybody sicker? Was anybody sick after Monday?
No.
Okay, great. I'll go first this week. I am bringing to the table a little game. And by a little game, I mean a gigantic, unbelievably large game called Xenoblade Chronicles for the Nintendo Wii system.
This looks like the kind of game that makes me... It's like Clonopin. I take it, and I'm just like...
I'm just glad that everybody on this show has such an open mind.
But no, it's only because the title and everything I know about it.
Tell me a better title. Can you give me a better title for the game?
I can give you Gears of War.
Okay.
Gears of War Chronicles.
All right.
Because way I would pay attention.
Halo Blade, Call of Duty.
Tell me about this game, Griffin.
So it's an RPG. It's a Japanese RPG in the truest sense. And it takes a lot of the concepts of a Japanese RPG and sort of refines them for a more modern audience. There's still a lot of tropes in there, like the characters are all sort of archetypes of the characters that you've come to know and love in JRPGs. Like there's the young boy destined to save the world from, an encroaching enemy force. But, it's actually very, very neat. It's almost like an MMO where it's not online, so you don't have to deal with other people, which is, I'm sure, appealing to some people who have played MMOs. It takes place in this incredibly large world, it's on one Wii disc, and I still don't understand how they managed to squish all that down. It might have something to do with the fact that it looks like a Dreamcast game. It's got a really great story and really great, voice acting by these people who have all these very charming British accents. And it's got probably the neatest thing about it is, so the titular Xenoblade, allows you to see into the future, which has all kinds of implications on the story. But in fights, it's really neat because you're almost always outnumbered and outgunned. by enemies, but if you see, you can see into the future sometimes if somebody's about to, like, lay down a killing blow on somebody on your team, you can see into the future and see it happening. And then it gives you, like, a few options to, like, skirt that future. So you have a way of, like, you're basically constantly cheating death. And fights aren't turn-based, they're very dynamic.
So you're talking about MMOs and people wanting to play MMOs without other people in them? When I think about MMOs, I don't really think, oh, those games are so much fun as, like, gameplay experiences.
Sure.
They're sort of crappy.
As right. Gameplay. Well, I mean, it's not... I was more talking about the scope of it rather than the, you know, clicking on a thing and then pressing one until it dies.
Griffin, how accessible is it with this game?
Oh, God, not at all. 0%.
Like, no accessibility.
I love a good JRPG. And I'm about 15 hours in, and there are mechanisms within mechanisms in this game, and I still don't understand all of them. But the ones I do, it's not because they're confusing, I think it's just because there's, like, hundreds of them. Mm. So I've heard from people that it's got, you know, over 100 hours of stuff to do. And if you're into, like, JRPGs and you're into, like, mechanical improvement of characters, then this game's going to be your jam.
The coolest part of this game is that you can cheat death, right? That's what you said?
Yeah.
And about
this feels like the setup to a burn.
No, just go with me.
Seeing into the future, and I'm seeing a burn.
how long do you have to play the game?
I mean, you don't have to play it at all if you don't want.
Sure, but how long would you say the game is?
I've heard it takes about 50 hours to beat if you skip most of the extemporaneous stuff.
I'm just running the numbers here.
Okay, just crunch them for me, will you?
I'm crunching them. I could watch the entire Final Destination Quintology.
Yeah.
In probably half the time it would take me to play that game. And yeah. I would get five times the amount of cheating death. And I would have the Candyman.
But I think you're mashing up your franchises, first off. Second off, but you're not the actual one cheating death. It's Devon Sawa who is doing the cheating death in that case.
Only in the first movie.
He's not. So, in Xenoblade Chronicles, you play as Devon Sawa. Can I start over? Can I do it again? You play as Devon Sawa. You're there. You get off a plane, and then a teenager gets hit by a bus.
All right, let's.
This sounds like a great game.
Actually pretty good. I'm just glad that Devon Sawa's getting work. Because Jesus Christ.
It's like Bruce Willis in Apocalypse. They scan Devon Sawa in completely. Russ Frushtick.
Hey, guys.
How about you? What do you got? What's on your burner?
I've got a little game called Skylanders Cloud Patrol.
No way.
I thought you were s***ing us.
Shut up.
I was not joking. You thought I was joking? I'm not joking.
You played better games this week. I know you did.
Not necessarily.
When did this come out?
I don't actually know what else I played this week. It came out last week.
What is
for
it?
For iOS.
iOS?
It's an iOS game.
Do you put your toys on the phone?
Yeah, so you stick your your Skylander toys on the iPad, and you rub it around until, like, the iPad screen gets kind of messed up. And then you take it off, and you go to the store, and you return your iPad for a new one, and then you can play Cloud Patrol.
Okay.
Yeah, so Vicarious Visions made this game, Skylanders Cloud Patrol. They made, what was the last X-Men Marvel game?
Marvel Ultimate
Alliance they made. So they made some good games, now they're bringing that expertise to mobile phones. Cloud Patrol sort of plays like, Fruit Ninja meets like a targeted, like a carnival game where you're shooting trolls and stuff like that. And they borrow some elements from Jetpack Joyride where you're completing missions to, like, unlock gems, and those gems unlock Skylanders that you can buy in the in-game store, but you could also use your code on the back of your little Skylanders toy to unlock guys in the iOS game. It's pretty fun. Like, all things, you know, I realize there's a lot of scoffing going around about the Skylanders, but for an iOS game, you know, pretty boss. I enjoyed it.
Do you mind?
Absolutely.
My wife is addicted to Skylanders.
She would love this game.
I don't mean addicted, like, playfully, like, oh, she plays so much I mean, we're late on our mortgage on the house that we own together because it's all Skylanders.
I don't understand because
you're not married,
right?
You don't own a house. Griffin.
Who is this wife?
It's a secret. It's a secret wife, but she's addicted to Skylanders.
Wait,
she loves it's a goof. It's a goof.
This is the danger of being the one who edits the podcast because Griffin feels like he could just get some freeform jazz goofs going.
Let me just
just experiment and see where it goes, and then edit it later.
I was at Denny's the other day, and you know what the waiter said to me?
What did he say?
Didn't.
Oh, this is train wreck.
People watched our video and they thought, "Boom! I like these guys. I can get on board with this video show. I like these cats." And then this is what we deliver to them.
Oh wait, I wanted to say something about Skylanders Cloud Patrol. God.
Yeah, maybe you should.
What?
Just go.
Okay, so you can actually do like Panzer Dragoon style like lock on systems where you can like get 5 guys locked on at once and then let go for like a homing shot and you get bonus points. So there's a lot of tactics involved.
Hey Russ, just like some maybe workshop pro tips for the besties. Maybe next time open with the ways in which it is like Panzer Dragoon Order and not with the ways it is like Fruit Ninja Connect and Carnival Games. Like are you trying to lose? Are you purposely sabotaging yourself?
But I came around eventually.
I'm going to be honest, it's a little troubling that every like feature you mention from the game, you're like, oh yeah, it's got Seaman's fish raising mechanics.
You can talk to the Skylanders too; they just don't talk back.
You can talk. It's got a little field runners in there. I'm gonna be honest; it sounds pretty derivative. Sorry, Vicarious. I haven't played your game, but
I'm ready to write it off. It doesn't sound any more derivative than a JRPG.
Yeah, how's that spiky hair treating you?
Except I talk. It's got time travel.
Yeah, they've never had that.
Guys, I don't like that. I think the burns are getting a little too real on this show.
Yeah, it's getting real rancorous. Let's like talk about something nice. What's pleasant that has happened to somebody this week? What's like a nice relaxing thing?
When I flew back from PAX East, I was in line at the Dunkin' Donuts and I saw a United pilot and I was pretty out of it just because I was just riddled with PAX plague. And I thanked him for his service.
Wait. So you're saying what a normal pilot.
He was like United Airlines pilot.
He's in his United Airlines uniform.
He is in front of me.
Waiting in line at Dunkin' Donuts, waiting to get a donut. And you're like...
He was checking out. We were ready to check out. There was a woman in front of us. We were making awkward small talk. And I just looked at his badge. I think he may have had some stripes, which was confusing. And I said, thank you for your service. And then he just sort of smiled and nodded. And then he bought his, you know, mocha latte.
Did he land your plane?
I do not think he was the pilot on my flight.
So when you meant service, you mean his military service, which he may or may not have had.
Russ, I can't find reason in the thing that I did or said. Earlier that day, I was at the convention center, and I had just finished eating a sandwich, and I went to throw away the clamshell package that the sandwich came in. So I went to throw it away, and I realized that it was a recycle bin that was, like, up against a pillar, so I walked around to the other side of the pillar and started to throw it away into the garbage can. But then I realized it wasn't a garbage can at all. It was a man who was dressed in gray and sitting down, and I started to throw my garbage into him. And I said, he looked at me very confused because I was handing him my clamshell sandwich package. And he looked at me very confused. And I said, sorry, you look like a garbage can. And it was
he proud of that?
He looked, I wasn't proud of it.
Was he cosplaying
he looked
as a garbage can?
Very hurt.
Because if he was cosplaying as a garbage can, I think he'd be honored.
No greater compliment.
He just was very plain looking and cylindrical. Anyway, Sunday was not a great day for me socially.
I want to tell you about my game this week. It's called Epic Sax Guy. And it is a Flash game made by Pippinbar, who's made a bunch of other things. And it is based on a YouTube video of a very exciting performance from Eurovision 2010, I think it was.
Oh, that was a good year.
It was a great year. And this guy he is a saxophonist who did this amazing solo. He's part of this Moldovan dance pop trio called the Sunstroke Project. And the video itself is this amazing guy with like a sleeveless shirt and spiky hair and sunglasses and fingerless gloves playing a saxophone. It's amazing. But the game is sort of like a career sim slash rhythm game for that guy. So when you start the game, all he did in the saxophone video is play the solo. It's like literally like 10 notes. And in the game, you start off practicing that, like in your bedroom, practicing these 10 notes. And you play using the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 keys on your keyboard. And it's actually legitimately difficult to play. And you practice in your bedroom at first, and then you move into the studio, and there's a jam session. And then you're actually performing the song, at Eurovision. And then the end game is someone made an epic sax guy 10-hour video on YouTube. And the last thing you can do in the game is actually play for 10 hours as you see YouTube commenters continue to add to your video. And it's all got this sort of very charming 8-bit style to it. Maybe even less than 8-bit. It's probably hovering around like Atari 2600 level. But it's... better than that. Come on. Give him some credit. It actually gets in your head, and once you get that one riff stuck in your melon, it kind of makes you keep going back to the game because it gets locked up there. But it's actually enjoyable to play, and it's fun, and it's a cute idea, and I like it a lot.
So this is a game based on a true story.
It's based on a heroic true story of one man, one saxophone, and one dream.
It's basically a biography, then, right?
It is a biography game telling the true life story of one man and one saxophone and one dream.
Is it better or way better than Beatles Rock Band in that sense?
In this sense, Beatles Rock Band, you can't connect. You can only connect with half of them because the other half are dead. So in this game, you connect with this one guy who I am assuming is still alive, unless he just, you know.
Very recently perished.
Very recently died. And I'd rather not think about that. So you can connect with this guy. You can feel his story. You can live his dream. And it's actually fun, especially in the jam session because they give you like the backing track. It's all MIDI based versions of this song, but they give you the backing track and you can just kind of noodle. You can just go for it. Just really play the sax solo that you have in your heart.
Is it an alto saxophone or is it a tenor?
Oh, that's a great question.
It is a baritone saxophone. So it's a Tarjan saxophone. So if you look at the video,
it's one of the good ones.
It's a good one. It is.
Okay.
Can I jam? Can I noodle for a bit while you guys?
Yeah.
Keep talking about the game.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wow, Griffin's pretty good.
Griffin is actually doing a pretty good job. So that is the idea. So it's a lot of fun, and it's actually a pleasant enough little diversion, and it actually scores you how well you perform and stuff like that. So it's neat. It's Epic Sax Guy. It's made by Pippin Bar. Get it.
If you do a bad job at the saxophone, can you see into the future and see yourself doing a bad job? And then, I guess, just play the saxophone
you
better?
This guy is so good that there literally cannot be a future. There's a time lock on how awesome his solo is.
Oh, man.
He actually cannot alter it because it is that awesome. So there's no reality in which the solo won't be great.
Is there a version where you can play as an American saxophonist?
No, not to my knowledge.
I don't want to sound xenophobic. I don't want to sound Xenoblade, but
I don't want to sound Xenomorph.
I'm just saying all the best saxophonists came from the United States of America, and that's all.
Can you name Dizzy Gillespie, a saxophonist that didn't come from America?
Jonathan Coltrane.
Jonathan
Colton.
That didn't come from America?
Yeah.
Yahoo Sirius.
That's a big one.
Yeah, he's from
Australia. That's pretty much the biggest one. Let's see.
Was the kid in Alex Mack originally from America?
is that's a very, very deep cut that you just dropped on us. Yo-Yo Ma started off
with a cellist.
He's a cellist now, but he started off on reed-based instruments. Who else? Hey, guys, who else isn't from America that I can make jokes about?
Those are actually the only non-Americans I know.
Okay.
Yahoo Serious.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yakov Smirnoff. He's got to be a saxer.
Dalai Lama.
Dolly Parton. Is
Princess Diana.
Princess Diana.
I hate this show. Hey, Chris. Huh? Did you play a game this week?
Jet Li.
Okay, the game I have brought is Fez, and it is a 2D platformer in which you play as a white guy, and you...
Hold on. Why is that an important piece of information to share with us?
Which part? The white guy part.
Well, the fact that he's white.
He's a white guy.
Right.
It'd have to be about that, though.
Would it be better if I called him a ghost?
Yes.
Is he a ghost?
He has legs.
I want you to be... Ghosts don't have legs. Everyone knows that. I want you to be factually accurate. So, like... Just say that he's, like, just a person.
It's a person.
It's like a white person?
No, but
Jesus. It doesn't have to be a white person. Just a person.
Because okay. He's starring in the game? Is that why you're stuck up on
Would
him?
It be better if I... Maybe, like, I restart?
Yeah. Start again.
Okay. Fez is a 2D platformer in which you play as a person.
You're right. That just doesn't sound... It's not descriptive at all.
How would you describe
it? As a white person.
There we go.
Okay, that's fine.
That sounds great.
It's a 2D platformer in which you play as a white person. And you jump around this pixely world. And you collect little yellow square cube things. But are you ready for the twist?
Literally.
Here's... You twist the world. Because it looks 2D, but then you hit one of the shoulder buttons, and then you see it from another angle. So there are four angles, like it's a giant box. You're seeing the world as if it is pivoting around this box. And then you solve puzzles in the world by changing your perspective as a white person.
That seems... can I... Do you mind if I... Mm-hmm. As a white person, I have never changed my perspective about anything.
Right. Especially not Japanese games.
Yeah, especially.
So there's been a lot of hype, I think, about this game. It mm-hmm. has been an indie darling for so long that the indie scene probably just needs to marry it at this point.
It's been in development for 3.5 years?
37 years of development. Phil Fish's dad started it, of course, as we all know the story, and then Phil Fish... finished it. Mm-hmm. What his father, Philip,
who was, funnily enough, was a Shriner.
Yeah, he was. That's
hence the inspiration.
I thought he was a fish.
No, he. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Good one. Pretty good goof. Chris, how does it live up to sort of the long runway that's been painted out in front of it?
It is pretty good.
A winning endorsement.
That's the kind of insight that you turn to.
It feels like an NES game in the best and worst ways possible. The music is like a great kind of throwback. The gameplay is very simple. You just kind of hop around and find things and solve puzzles. But it's also, it's difficult for one. Which is okay. That's good for a puzzle game. But it's difficult in less enjoyable ways, like kind of navigating the world. The world is broken up into these little segments or little floating islands. And they are, I don't know, they're bookended, or not bookended, but they're kind of taped one to the other. And to get from point A to, say, point C may involve tons of backtracking or dealing with a portal system that isn't the best. But it looks gorgeous, and it sounds awesome. The soundtrack is great.
Sorry, before you go on about the soundtrack, is it like a big open world, like a Metroidvania-style world?
Kind of like a Metroidvania. I mean, there are lots of hidden things, but it's not like a Metroidvania in the sense of if you learn something later, you can go back to the beginning and use it. There's not a lot of that.
Don't learn anything new, right? You're just jumping and spinning the world. That's the only
learning is very... It's very real. You'll find a QR code and you'll scan it and it'll give you a hint for a puzzle that you just couldn't solve earlier, but you're not getting like the double jump or something.
That's a joke, right? The QR code thing?
No, that's real. It's no kidding. The first time I did it, it was pretty baller.
So you literally take a picture of the screen and like upload it?
Uh-huh.
I can't even tell if you're goofing on me or not.
I swear to God.
Pretty cool.
It's neat. I'm telling you, it's really neat.
That sounds cool, Chris.
It is cool. I mean, I can't help but notice criticism.
I'm sensing some like a little bit of disappointment maybe in your voice. Is that accurate?
3.5 years is a long time to wait for a game that was really, really hyped. And it's definitely good. It's weird. I wouldn't change anything about it at all. I think Phil made the game that he wanted to make, which is great. But in pursuing that NES feel, I mean, it's a game that I'm not entirely used to. I'm not used to like kind of being punished for play.
Arthur in his review called it obtuse, and I think that's the best word imaginable to describe some of the stuff about it, especially the navigation.
Yeah, maybe archaic also. Hmm. By design.
It's also very pulchritudinous.
Uh-huh. Is it?
Would you say it's avuncular?
I wouldn't call it avuncular in the sense that it doesn't have an uncle.
So clearly Chris did not feel super strongly about that game.
I liked it better than Chris did, it sounds like.
I liked it better than I liked Xenogears.
Okay, not the name of the game.
Xeno.
Just Xeno. Say Xeno. We'll know what you're talking about.
Xeno Warrior Xeno. Princess.
Of all the games we have this week, only one teaches you how to play saxophone. So I think Epic Sax Guy is the best game of the week.
Well, first off, it's based on a meme that my grandmother invented in 1936. Nani. That my nanny invented in 1922. So I'm not sure.
Shouldn't you have a closer attachment to it then?
No, I'm saying the same. You know how I don't have an attachment with the Doobie Brothers?
Right.
It's basically the same thing.
Because I think we could so old.
Because it's start knocking games out.
Very
good. Yeah, okay. I agree. Also, I already know how to play saxophone. Like, I know how to.
Russ, your game sounds like the pits.
Dude, it's Panzer Dragoon Orta, but with Skylands.
You didn't open with that, Dad.
I remembered it afterwards.
It's Panzer Dragoon Orta with Fruit Ninja Connect, with Jetpack Joyride, with Draw Something,
right,
with
awesome
Angry Birds.
We all love.
With Angry Birds Space, with Bejeweled, with Plants vs. Zombies.
And Farmville.
Don't worry about it.
My game has QR codes too, but way better.
I'm going to go with Fez, because I think it is actually a better game than Xenoblade.
Fez is probably the best game of the week, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to vote for the Sax Guy game.
Thank you. Shut up. Now, here's the question. Fez is obviously the best game of the week. Can we make a case for, and I don't want to rush this, can we make a case for Fez being a better game than Journey?
Here's what, I have one argument for it. Okay. And I think it's because it's the antithesis of Journey, because where Journey is sort of bringing world peace, Fez is all about hatred towards other races. So if you wanted to like make the argument, it's almost like light and dark.
Why? Why?
Because it stars a white guy and it's really offensive.
Here, can we try this? How about this? Hey, Journey, you've had like a month and a half to solve the Middle East crisis, and you haven't done it
yet.
You're
right. It's ineffective.
It's a beautiful dream that we kept alive.
Middle East tries Journey.
Yeah, but Fez can't just win by default. Like, it just happened to walk through the door.
No, but I'm saying the merits of Journey have been depreciated by the hard, hard truth of time.
And, you know, by playing Fez, I've learned to look at things from new perspectives.
Exactly.
Guys,
I don't want to kill Journey yet.
I'm looking at routers right now, and the headline from today is Middle East mediators seek to revive Israel-Palestine peace talks. That is from today. It is making a dent. I'm sorry, Fez. You're a good game, but Journey is, in fact, still working its magic to cure the Middle East.
Is there a mention of Journey in the story?
It is. It does mention Netanyahu.
Okay.
But no mention.
I think he worked on Journey, actually.
Yeah, he got an executive producer credit, I think, but it was mostly honorary.
Also, did you call Reuters routers?
Reuters. That's what I said.
You okay, definitely, definitely said routers.
Yeah, I thought you were on CNET.
I was saying it. I knew it was wrong, but my brain wouldn't tell me how to say it right. So I just said it.
I just love that your head's in the game. When we're all just like recording and just sort of finding, just sort of exploring the space.
I was Googling to see if the Middle East peace process had been completed yet. I was Googling to see if there was peace in the Middle East.
What specifically did you Google? I'm curious.
I Googled Israel-Palestine peace news.
Israel-Palestine, what's up, please?
How are you guys doing?
Give me the scoop. It's not fixed, but like there was some kind of breakthrough because we're really trying to get those peace talks going again.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I can't support unseating Journey this week for Fez because Journey, I want to give Journey time to work, and it seems to be having an effect.
But Journey, don't rest on your laurels. I'm just saying, more work to be done.
We gotta have a deadline for it.
I'm saying 2 weeks. If it's not done by besties, what is this? Episode 6?
This is episode 8.
You got 2 weeks, Journey.
April.
Journey, make it work.
First episode of May, peace process needs to be in full effect.
Like, I don't care what the best game
across the border.
It could be Skylanders Cloud Patrol 2 for all I care. I don't care what game we pick as the best game of the week on the first week of May. It is displacing Journey if Journey can't get it together.
Here's my question. If Journey does get it together,
we'll have to start a new podcast.
Is it the best game of all time?
It will be the last episode of this podcast.
Yeah. Which after this one, I'm pretty sure people will be okay with.
Yeah. People will be very comfortable with that. So there you have it, folks. Fez is the best game of the week, but it doesn't unseat Journey, which seems to be making a dent in thawing out the glacier of contempt over there in the Middle East, which is an apropos metaphor because it is very cold there.
Very cold, very arid.
Very cold. Make sure you go to our new website, polygon.com, and sign up for our mailing list. You can also find all of our video game coverage at theverge.com/gaming. Follow us on Twitter, @Polygon, and... thank you so much for listening. Make sure you join us next week for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best game?